the end of Matthew and the 28th chapter as we hear of Jesus commissioning the disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, I need your help for just a couple of minutes. We're going to play a game, not a hard game. It's one you've probably played several dozens of times in your life. It's called Simon Says. All right, you know the rules, right? If Simon says it, you do it. If Simon doesn't say it, you don't do it. Right? Okay. All right, Simon Says, clap your hands. Simon Says, pat your head. Simon Says, smile. Wow, you guys smile so nice. All right, clap your hands. Oh, yeah, that's a tough one. Simon didn't say clap your hands. All right, thank you for playing Simon Says. All right, so playing Simon Says, was that, did that go all right for you? Pretty well? Yeah. Was it fun? Maybe a little bit. Was it complicated? No. Did it require a listening? Yes. Were the things you were asked to do difficult? Why? Simple things. Yeah, short, simple instructions. All right, remember this experience. We're going to need it as it applies to our scripture lesson today. So in the parting instruction of Jesus to his disciples, as it's recorded in Matthew, we hear an instruction to make disciples of all, to baptize them in the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey the commands of Jesus. And then Jesus gives his disciples a bit of reassurance, saying that God will be with them always, even as they take on these endeavors in the name of God. So the thing that sticks out to me as I read these few verses in the end of Matthew is the verbs. The verbs stick out to me. Go, make, baptizing, teaching. These are all verbs that require action, as in they require action on our part to carry them out, to make them happen. It's sort of the way that Jesus, who came before Nike, is saying, just do it, right? So let's see, I need to pick on someone. Jim, I'm going to pick on you. All right. If Pam asks you to take out the trash, what does she expect to happen? Yeah, that it would be removed from its location and taken to where it can be disposed of. Is that a reasonable expectation?
It is.
It is. Very good. All right. Ryan, if I tell you that I am hungry, and we talk about making dinner, what might I expect to happen? That you help cook dinner. Excellent. Yes. Yes. That is exactly. I'm probably asking you for help making dinner. Is that a reasonable expectation when I ask that sort of a question? Before the hanger sets in. Probably. All right, Mason, it's your turn. You thought you were going to get out of it. All right, if your mom asks you to clean your room, what might she expect to happen? That some things in your room get picked up. Yeah, that your room is made progress towards being clean and picked up. Yeah. So in each of these situations, does the person doing some sort of asking have a reasonable expectation for the other person to come back to them and say, perhaps if it's Jim and Pam has asked him to take out the trash, does Pam expect Jim to come back to her and say, now I've learned what you said. I memorized it. I've written it in my heart. Is that what Pam's expecting to hear when Jim comes back maybe 2 hours later? I'm guessing probably not. And am I going to be impressed if I'm hungry and I'm asking Ryan to help me start making dinner, if he comes back to me half an hour later and says, well, I formed a study group and we carried out a study on strategies for making dinner. Am I going to be impressed? And if Mason comes back to his mom and says, well, I have memorized where every sock in my room should have gone, is his mom going to be impressed when she asks him to clean up his room? I doubt it. If someone is asking you for something, they usually expect action according to their instruction. I dare say it's the same with Jesus. Jesus doesn't give us commands and instructions just so that we can memorize them, so that we can form groups and study them. I think Jesus really gives us commands and instructions so we can act on them. Sure, we can study God's commands, we can memorize scripture, but that's to undergird our discipleship, which is all about taking action in the name of God. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Phil Maynard, a United Methodist pastor from Florida, wrote the book that we've been drawing on largely in the Sunday school class and Monday evening study that I've been teaching. And throughout this book, we have learned and studied some basic principles for Christian discipleship, just basic practices of what it means to be a Christian, to live the life of a disciple. And each week, we haven't just studied it, but we've had time to practice it, to try it on, to figure it out, and homework to take with us through the week to try it. And each week, the homework has been cumulative. So the first week, we talked about prayer, and we had a few choices to make about how we might take on a different mode of prayer for that week. And then the second week, we talked about reading scripture, and we talked about some different strategies and methods for reading scripture, and those who were participating were invited to take on one of those practices to try it out for the week. But I reminded them that just because they were reading their Bible this week didn't mean they could stop praying. You're praying and you're reading scripture. Both. It's cumulative. You build on what you have done the previous weeks. These foundational tasks of discipleship. Well, this past week, we talked about sharing our faith. And we had to commit to taking action. And it really funneled down to the point of following Jesus' command to love God and to love our neighbors. In fact, each week it's funneled down to following Jesus' command to love God and to love our neighbors. You see, we pray because we love God. We want to deepen our relationship with God, and we also pray because we lift up not only our own needs, but the needs of our neighbors, the ones who we desire to see God touch their lives. We pray because we love God and we love our neighbor. We read scripture because we love God and we want to hear more deeply how to love God. And sometimes we read scripture to figure out how to better love our neighbors. We worship. We take time for personal spiritual growth, to draw our attention to God and God's love, and to also figure out how we can love our neighbors better. We identify and use our spiritual gifts to honor God and to serve our neighbor out of love. We share our faith to introduce others to God, to share God's love with them. Each of these foundational tasks of discipleship moves us into action, while at the same time moving us deeper into relationship with God. Jesus sends his disciples out. Go. Go and make disciples of all people. Part of discipling then becomes teaching others to obey God's commands. So what are those commands? Well, a few chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, contain the answer that Jesus gives when a lawyer comes up and asks Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What sums up your teachings and your instructions, Jesus? He says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. So disciples, brothers and sisters in Christ, last week was Pentecost, and we heard that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on all who follow Christ, poured out on us through our baptism by water and the Spirit. And today we hear Jesus reiterating, reassuring us, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So God goes with us as we are sent out to be the church, to do the work of discipleship, which is loving God and loving our neighbor, especially where our neighbor is defined as all, because all are invited to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So now is the time to stop talking about it like the day isn't coming when we'll need to have an action plan for our faith. It's time to stop waiting until we have the whole Bible memorized. It's time to stop giving excuses about why we haven't taken action towards Jesus' instruction to go and make disciples. Because when we stand before the throne of God on Judgment Day, I don't think, well, I wasn't ready because I was too busy studying and forming a committee and waiting for a church council vote and so on and so on, is going to be an acceptable excuse for why we didn't obey God's very word. So you are sent, but you are not sent alone. God goes with you. And we, your church family, support one another in this endeavor and encourage you to take God's instructions seriously and to go. So go, make disciples, love God, love your neighbor,